Well, I think it'd be good just to thank our worship team this morning for leading us. Half of them are on vacation, but the best half is here. Luke and a bunch of others. But Dustin leading the way this morning with our worship on the keyboard and extremely talented. And Laura, school teacher, and the music. And then where's Jordan back here? Jordan was playing Luke's guitar, but he's left-handed, so he's playing it actually upside down. Incredible. And I just want you to know, God has given us some very, very talented people that use their musical abilities here to lead us in worship. So we're just grateful for them. And so why don't you just thank them for leading us this morning. Well, happy Father's Day. And I think we're going to continue on this series on Follow Me. And dads, I think one of the best things for us on Father's Day is that'll make us the very best fathers in the world is to follow Jesus. Your kids, a lot of times, follow you and me more than we think. That's kind of a scary thought. But then if we follow Jesus. So it's a great thing for us as dads to take a look at it. What does it mean to follow Jesus? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. You know, I go on a 2-mile walk about every day. And you know how I get that 2 miles accomplished? One step at a time. And some steps are critical steps, and turning a corner or I have stumbled and fell before. You know, the sidewalk uneven and wasn't watching what I was doing, and I, you know, bung myself up. But a lot of times our Christian, our youngest grandson, I'll take him, but I push him in a stroller, which ups the exercise a little bit for 2 miles. And I love coming to the intersection and say, Christian, which way do we go? Which way? And he'd always tell me exactly, this way, this way, this way, this way. And he'd give me directions. But those are turning points. And so every once in a while, following Jesus, we come to those turning points and say, okay, which way do I go? Which way do I go? Do you always know which way to go? Are you able to call on your Father that knows which way you should go there? Sometimes the following Jesus has drastic moves that changes all of life if we follow him. So I want us this morning to look at lessons about following Jesus, and we'll have some steps that we're to take in following Jesus. Now I want to start off with the last verse that was read this morning, verse 11, and then we'll back up and see what that's all about. Verse 11 says this, and when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Now, if you read that without the context of it, it sounds like Jesus walking by and says, hey, guys, come. And they just said, hey, Dad, we're out of here. We're going to leave this fishing business to you. We're going to roam with this guy. Is that what happened? No, you have to go back. If sometime just start reading with chapter 4 and 5 to lead up to this. But what's going on here? So let's go back to verse 1, and we'll work down to them actually saying, we're going to follow Jesus. And seems like a very drastic step. So, verse 1 says, on one occasion, that's one occasion that Jesus was teaching them, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in, what's happening there? Well, Jesus was teaching them, and he was by the seashore. He had been to Nazareth, his hometown, and they ran him off because they didn't like what he was saying. And he had come to Capernaum, which Capernaum is on the north part of the Sea of Galilee. And he's teaching there, and by this time he's well known. If you go back to chapter 4, it says that he was known throughout all of the region. People had heard about him. They knew about his teaching. They knew that he would teach with authority. They had heard about the healing things that he'd been doing. And so the crowds were following him. And it says here, the crowds were pressing him. And it means that they would come so close, he would just keep backing up toward the water, kind of like you do on Sunday morning. You come and just press in on these front row seats to catch it right down. That's the way you do it, isn't it? And so they were pressing down so much that he calls for the boat to come of Simon. Then he get in the boat, and then he pushes out into the water a bit. So let's go ahead and read this. So on one occasion, the crowd was pressing to hear what was happening. They were pressing to hear what? The Word of God. They wanted to know more about what this guy had to say, and even called it the Word of God. He was standing by the lake and teaching, but they were pressing him to hear. So I want to give you some of the next steps to take. The first step in following Jesus, the first step in following Jesus is hearing or listening to the Word of God. There's no way you can follow him if you don't hear him. There's no way you can follow him if you're not open to him saying something to you to give you direction. God wants to speak to us. And so it says here, the very first thing is that hearing the Word of God. When I became a Christian, I was just a kid. But down on the inside, not to sound mystical, but down on the inside, every one of you here this morning that have made that step to follow Christ know what I'm talking about. There was a time that God spoke to you. In other words, there was something on the inside of you that knew you needed God. I was just a kid, but all of a sudden I became so very aware I needed God. God was speaking to me. And I had to make a choice. Was I going to follow or ignore that? Now, I'm hopeful that throughout this teaching this morning, you'll come to a point in which God is going to tug it in your heart and say, okay, if I'm going to follow now, I've got to follow what he says, to hear him. How do you do that? On a daily basis, this is called the Bible, but it's also called the Word of God. It's going to be very difficult to follow if you're not reading the manual, if you're not reading the revelation of God, if you're not reading his Word on a daily basis. What would keep you from doing that? I tell you one thing that keeps us from it is pride. Is that we get up and all those things that are pressing for us in that day, and we think, you know, I've got more things to do than take a little time to let God speak to me. Do you ever do that? And saying, I've got a busy day today, and I'm going to move ahead. And we think some way we can handle it, so we will ignore trying to hear God. How's that going to go for that day? Are you going to be able to follow him if you've not even stopped long enough to listen to him? So God so longs to speak to us. And he does that through his Word. But there are a lot of clutter can keep us from... Have you ever talked to someone you know they were preoccupied and you explain something to them? And then you get this response, huh? Huh? That means they didn't hear. The words came out of your mouth and it went to them, but they were focused on something else. Sometimes God is speaking and all we're doing is saying, huh? It's listening to him. And believe me, if you want to hear from God, he will speak on a consistent, if you just take the scriptures on a consistent basis. This week, I remember there's one particular day that there was one verse I was reading there. So it's one verse that really popped out to me. And I thought, oh, I need to do something about that. All of a sudden, I knew my next step. I knew what I needed to do because there was something on the side of me that said, that's got your name written all over it, Vernon. That's kind of the things that God will do. Maybe not every day, but there'll be times that it's kind of turning points in our life that we listen to him. Now, one of the guys that was listening to him that day was named Simon. Simon was later called who? Peter. So we know who this is. And look in verse 2. It said, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them. In other words, they were out of their boats down by the banks there. And one of them was Simon, and he asked him to put out from the land. And so this crowd pressing in, and he calls Simon over. He gets in his boat and he goes out just away from the shoreline and he begins to teach from Simon's boat. Now let's pause for just a moment and talk about Simon. Who is this guy Simon? Is this the first time he's seen Jesus? Does he know anything about Jesus? Well, let's back up a little bit. When Jesus was in Nazareth, he's run out of town because they didn't like what he said. He went to Capernaum. And where does Simon live? But he lives in Capernaum. Go back to chapter 4 and you'll find where Jesus actually went to Simon's house. Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever. They were very concerned about her. They asked Jesus to do something and bring in healing. And she was healed, and she got up and began to cook dinner for them. Simon was there. Simon knew about this guy. This was not a stranger teaching that day. He knew about him. And in verse 4 and 5, look at, and when he had finished speaking, Jesus had finished speaking now, look what happens. And he said to Simon, put out into the deep. In other words, he was saying, let's go fishing again. How do you think Peter would respond to that? Jesus, I've been fishing all night long. We've already put our equipment up. It takes a long time to clean those nets and get them all dried out and put them up. What's your occupation anyway, Jesus? You're a carpenter. What do you know about fishing? I'm the pro. And Jesus said, let's go fishing. Put out into the deep. So the first lesson of making the steps to follow Jesus is listening to what he has to say. The crowd was pressing to hear his teaching from the Word of God. But second, in following him, you can just bank on it, following him will require you to do something that doesn't make sense. And it says here that they followed him and required at his word. So I remember when I felt that God was calling me in the ministry. And I thought, you got to be kidding me, God. I had a lot of long conversations and discussions and quarreling with God. I can't do this. I can't hardly stand up and tell people my name in front of people. I would run from that. I remember I finally said, okay, God, I'll follow you when I get a little bit older. You know, I wanted to put it off. And then my father of ministry said, I think it's time for you to preach. So I remember that first time I ever preached, I stood up in that enormous crowd of our church of 35 people. Scared to death. And the message I thought went on for eternity. Only to find out it lasted for 10 minutes. Don't ever expect that again. I remember I finished the first funeral I did. I was pastor of a little country church, and the first funeral I did, and I didn't know what to do. I was so petrified by that. And all I knew to do is I read scripture for about 15 or 20 minutes, and that was it. I remember going home exhausted, and I thought, Lord, if this is the rest of my life is not going to last very long. It's going to kill me. It didn't make sense, is what I'm trying to say. A lot of times following Jesus will make us want to quarrel with him and say, this does not make sense. To put out into the deep does not make sense. But I just want to finish that verse. You know how he responded? Master, we've toiled all night. We've taken nothing. But, what's he say? But at your word, I will let out the nets. What was the first step of following Christ? Listening. The second step is what? Doing something that doesn't make sense. And third is just taking him at his word. Taking him at his word. Even though it doesn't make sense, to take him at his word. So Peter took the nets that had already been cleaned, all of his tools, and he went out to fish. even though it didn't make sense. Is God tugging at your heart lately about something that doesn't make sense? Maybe it's to serve someplace and you say, oh God, I can never do that. Maybe it's to make a sort of course change in your life because you've gotten off course. And you're saying, I don't think I could ever get back on track again. I've wandered so far away from God. I talked to a guy yesterday. And he said, I see no way that God would get me back on track. I've gotten so far off. He was here the first hour this morning. He's trying to get back on track. You never get so far off track, but what God's extending hand of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness is there. Never. Never. And all of us get off track. All of us fail. And a lot of times those failures, you know, say, okay, never again. Have you ever failed at something that you tried? You know, God's, you felt like, oh, God wanted me to do this and I'm going to do it the best. And it was a big failure. I actually started off doing music and youth work in a church because I was trying to dodge this preaching thing. And so I was doing the music and the youth work, and the pastor said, I'd like for you to preach this Sunday. And I thought, oh gosh, here we go again. So I was working on the message, and Charlene was driving. I was working on the message to get my finer points before I got there. And I got up, and I knew, God knew, everybody there knew I wasn't doing very well. I was struggling through that. And I remember it was one of those little churches where the preacher would always stand at the back door, and everybody would come and lie to you about how good you did on the way out, you know. And I thought, oh man, I'm going to have to stand here and listen to all that this morning. And you know what? He was honest with me. You know what? He turned to me while they were doing the closing prayer. And he said, don't feel badly. Everybody strikes out once in a while. You know, really encourager is what he was, you know. I called him some time ago. I found where he was. But he didn't remember that, and I'm glad he didn't. But anyway, I certainly remembered it, you know. By the way, have you ever failed? Sure you have. God, if this is what you asked me to do, and look at the results of that. The encouragement is to get back on track. So first is, the first step is you've got to listen to God. If you're going to follow him, you've got to listen to his word. Listen to what he has to say. And then next is just take him at his word. It may sound ridiculous. It may sound like beyond what you could ever do. Just take him at his word. Look on down in verse 6. And when they had done this, I love the way this story turns right now. And when they had done this, they went fishing where they had not caught any fish all night long. See, in the Sea of Galilee, you'd fish at night. In the daytime, the fish were not available at the level that you could fish with a net. So they had fish at night. But they did this ridiculous thing of going out of what Jesus said, and they did it anyway. And when they had done this, look what happened. Look at the blessing of this. They enclosed a large number of fish. There's a lot of times that God wants to bless us if we'll just take him at his word. I've told you a number of times, I didn't want to come to Briarcliff. It didn't make sense to come to Briarcliff. Why would I want to come to Briarcliff? It had all of 5 members. It wasn't long until it was down to 1. I thought, God, this is not going in the right direction as far as I can tell. What in the world am I doing here? And now I look back on that and I say, you know, if I had not said, okay, whatever you say, I would have missed watching the hand of God work in many of your lives. I'd have missed the opportunity to see life change come in many of your lives. I would have missed all that. When they had done this, what's hanging out there now that you need to do that you've not done yet? Then God would bless you, the blessing of that. Now, Peter saw much more than just a lot of fish come in the net that day. He began to see God in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8 and 9 and 10. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet and knees and said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." He began, and this happens when we begin to see God a little bit more clearly and His holiness. Usually we see ourselves and how sinful we really are. What Peter began to see that day was he not just saw a man teaching, he saw a man that was not only the Lord, he was the Lord of the fish. He was the creator. He was all that there was. He began to see this person that had come to his house, this person that was beckoning him to go out in the deep, he began to see, this is God. This is no ordinary man. This is God. And when he began to see God in his life, he began immediately to see. Kind of like Isaiah, when Isaiah went into the temple and saw God, the next thing he said, "Oh man, I'm a man of unclean lips." When you really see the holiness of God, when you're following Him close enough, following Him closely enough, that He actually, you see His holiness, His glory, the radiance of Him. And He speaks. Many times we begin to see how sinful we really are. And He said, Oh Lord, I am sinful. I am sinful. So the first step in following Jesus is what? Hearing. And that might lead to the next step, which is you just have to take Him at His word. Now the step is humility. You'll never follow Him until you're willing to humble yourself. I had a hard time with that in coming to Christ because I thought when I began to sense I needed God, and I thought, why do I need God? I'm a good kid. Why is this going on inside of me, this turning on this? I need to do something here. I know that I need God in my life. And so many times pride will push us away. I'm a sinful man. And the humility that it takes. Is God tugging at your heart, and something about you is not willing to humble yourself and do that? You know, the scripture says, do not quench the Spirit. Do you recall that? Do not quench the Spirit of God. Any of you doing that? You know, God tenderly whispers to your life and said, okay, here's the next step. It might be just a tiny step. We might ignore it and it doesn't seem like a big deal, but you quench the Spirit, guess how much more you're going to hear from God? Probably zero. Could it be that you don't hear God because He kind of tugged at your heart and you didn't respond, you just kind of quenched that? I beg of you, don't go there. Because you may never hear anything else from God. When He tugs at your heart in any kind of way and you quench that Spirit. And that's the reason why the Scripture says, do not quench the Spirit of God. In verse 10, Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. What was He afraid of? He was afraid of this awesome God that he had just seen coming in Jesus Christ. And there was a fear there that, and he says, do not be afraid. You know, when I struggle a lot and I am tempted, I don't want to seek out what God might say because I don't want to hear what He has to say. Have you ever been there? I would not come and say, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I would not say that because I was afraid He might tell me. And so a lot of times the fear that we have is we're even afraid to ask God because we're not sure we'd like what He would have to say. By the way, do you know how many times in the Bible you will find the term fear not or do not be afraid? Do you know how many times that will show up in the Bible? 365 times. What else do you know comes up 365 times? 365 days of the year. You know, there's a verse for every day. Do not fear. Do not fear. He does not want us to be afraid. But there's always a hesitation. As long as there's fear, we tend to draw back and not follow. Because that next step is going to call for a step of faith. Oh, and he says, do not fear. Peter, do not fear. Because I want to do something in you. And do something in and through you. So the first step is what? Listening or hearing. The second step is taking action to whatever you say. The third step is a step of humility. But also, to follow Jesus means to go fishing with him. Look at it, if you would. It says, do not be afraid. From now on, you're going to be catching men or catching people. Or a literal translation is taking people alive. In other words, you're going to be taking people that are destined for death and destruction. You're going to be a part of seeing them saved from that destruction. You're going to be taking them alive. You know, this is not as difficult as you think, because you've got a story to tell. Think about Peter after that experience with Jesus. I can imagine he could hardly wait to tell other people about that fish story. You'll not believe what happened to me. I went fishing that night and didn't catch anything. And then when I came back in, a time that you'd never think about going fishing, this guy went with him, got more fish than I've ever gotten all my life. He could hardly wait to tell somebody else. I hope you're that way about your story. You know, I constantly look for ways to tell the story. My phone, I take it with me everywhere. You take your phone everywhere? Do you ever leave the house and realize you left it back and then go back to get it because you're afraid to go very far, much farther without your phone, you know? You know what's on the back of my phone, which I always have with me? I have this little packet glued on here. And I have a Briarcliff card on there. I can whip that out quicker than you never imagined, you know? And there's hardly a week goes by when I run into somebody and they'd say, oh, what are you doing? So glad you asked. I cut my finger this week and reached in the toolbox and for a nail and hit a razor blade and rather instead, you know. But anyway, blood flew everywhere, and so I'd gone. I forget what day of the week it was. Thursday, I believe it was, that I went to a Mexican restaurant to eat, of course, and I got in there and I bumped that. I didn't have a Band-Aid on. I bumped it and blood began to go everywhere. And so no one wanted to eat with me at that table. And so I ran to the restroom to wash it off. And I came back around, there's a little gal there at the desk. And I said, would you happen to have a Band-Aid? She said, sure. Let me. She dug one out and she put it on there and said, now you need another one to put around this way. And I said, oh, she bandaged me up really, really well. I went on back in and I ate and I come back out. And I said, I am so grateful for you just taking excellent care of me and bandaging up my finger. And then I stood there for a long. Then she had to tell me about the time that she had cut her hand, you know. And I said, well, I bet you had stitches. Oh, yeah, I had stitches there. And she went, I stood there for a long. She told me the whole story. I thought, this Band-Aid's costing me money right now, doesn't it? But you know what she said? She said, thank you for listening to me. Thank you for listening to me. Most people don't want to hear as much as they want to talk. Now, I was so close to saying, you go to church anywhere? But I didn't feel I had the freedom to do that day. But now I have a very spiritual reason to go back to the Mexican restaurant and eat again. Somewhere down the line, she's going to get that card. And that'll be all. Just say. And then she'll probably have a story. Oh, I don't go to church. or I went once and don't go anymore. She'll have a story. And then I can listen to her story again. Jesus said, Peter, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm going to make you a fisherman. Not for fish, but taking people alive. Bringing them out, not for a fish fry, but I'm bringing them out that you can set them free with a new life. I want you to be a fisherman. So the first step in following Jesus is what? You got to listen to him. There's no way you're going to follow him if you're not listening to him. Second, and whatever he says, then the second step is what? Take him at his word. Third is what? Humility. And now, being willing to go fishing with him. Being willing for somebody in your life that you have to, you've heard me say this over and over and over. See right here in the back? My card, the impact card. I have three names on there. I pray for them most every day. Opening, praying that God will open the way and fishing for them. Do you have your impact card? Are you praying that God will use you as a fisherman? See, the very essence and purpose and the mission of this church is first of all, it might be good for us to rehearse that. What is the mission? What are we trying to accomplish? Why do we exist at Briarcliff? It is to share what? Share the gospel, grow in community, and serve others. What was the first part? That's where you start. It doesn't mean that you're out just trying to buttonhole people. A lot of times it'll be just to listen to them, their story. And then you can tell them your story. It could change their life. Do not be afraid. I'm going to make you a fisherman. And then look at verse 11. Now we finally get down to this verse 11 that sounds so ridiculous in some ways. And when they had brought their boat to land, they left everything to follow him. The last step is to say, I'm all in, 100%. I'm all in. Not partially, but I'm all in. In other words, this does not mean you would leave your business. It doesn't mean you'd leave your career. But it does mean that you would, some way in that career, you're sold out to Jesus. You're sold out to him. You'll follow him. You're going to be listening to him. You're going to be doing it, and you're going to follow him. They left everything. What are you going to have to leave? One thing, you'll have to leave your sins. One thing you'll have to leave is your own stubborn way. One thing that you're going to have to leave is your selfish desire to go the way you want to go. You're going to have to leave all that. They left everything and followed him. You know, I'm reminded that Jesus one time was walking down the road, and a guy came up to him and said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, wait just a minute. I'm not sure you know what you're asking and saying. Foxes have a place to live and birds have a nest, but the Son of Man, me, I have no place. If you're going to follow me, it's not going to be comfortable. If you're looking for a comfortable way, this is not it. He goes a little bit farther, and another guy says, I'll follow you wherever you go. But first, I want to go take care of my family. Or any of you saying, Lord, I want to follow you, but I got some other things to do right now. When I sensed God called me in ministry, I said, Lord, I'll do it when I'm 30. Then I'll do it when I'm 40. You know, I kept upping the age, you know. I'll do it when all this. What are you waiting on? What do you want to try to get together before you follow him? You see, it's got to be 100%. He said, okay, God, I'm going to leave my ways to go your ways. That's what you have to leave. I'm going to leave my ways to go your ways. And I will follow you. I will follow you. So, what's your next step? What's your next step? See, I hope that when you're here on a worship time, that when you leave, that some way God kind of nudges you, maybe just a tiny step. But what is that, even that tiny step? What's the next step? You may be saying, I don't have a clue. Well, let me ask you this. Are you taking time every day to listen? Are your ears open? Are you able to receive what he says? Is your next step just to listen? Some of you, is your next step to take him at his word? It may seem ridiculous. Well, you take him as some of it may be a step of humility. Okay, God, there's no way I can do this on my own. You just sort of do like Peter. You fall down at the feet of Jesus. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe your next step is there's people in your life and you're just sort of ignoring their eternity. You ought to be fishing. For some, you're not 100% yet. You're saying, Lord, I want to follow you, but I'm looking for the comfortable route. I'll follow you when it's convenient. No, won't work. You just have to throw down your way and follow his way. Are you ready to do that? Is that your next step? Throwing down my way and follow his way. Let's pray together. Father, you're a gracious God. You're a Father that loves us so very much. And we admit that there are times that we, just like Peter did, we get off track. And we need to get back on track. There are times that our pride gets in the way that we don't even take time to listen to you, because we think we already know. Now, there are other things that are more pressing, so we don't even take time to listen. Some of us, there's fear there of, would this make me some sort of wacko to really let go of all my life and follow him? What in the world would he do with me? If we're hesitating this morning, say, yeah, I really want to follow Jesus. I really want to follow you. But now is not a good time, and I'll catch that later. God, help us to make those steps, even though they're tiny steps, to make them in following you. For Christ's sake, amen.